Today, more from the property market frontline with Edwin Almeida. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, Wealth Analytics Post, covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Today, I'm joined again by our property insider, Edwin Almeida. Hi, Edwin.
Oh, hi, mate. How are you going?
What on earth are you doing?
Well, yeah, I was reading a story about an entertainer in Melbourne that bought a $5.5 million property and hasn't worked. Now she's claiming for relief from the government. So, I was learning to play the guitar in the 90s, so I haven't worked in the entertainment industry since the 90s. I haven't worked in the entertainment industry at all, so I thought I might grab a hold of that loophole as well and get with it. I've already started to compose a few songs. Dancing with the Devil is one of them. I got one verse, but hey, you know. Another one is Hedonic, How I Love You. How I Love You, Hedonic.
And there must be one somewhere about how low will it go?
Yeah, definitely. That's actually on. It's going to make number one charts in a couple of months' time. How low can you go? And it's all just auction clearance rates where we're at now. You know, missing you. I miss you. Missing you. Whatever. I mean, let the viewers chip in with some titles. What do you reckon?
I think you're onto a winner there, Edwin. And, you know, you could really hit the charts with those because they're really going to be very significant stories at the moment and some great songs.
Hey, we're here to entertain. We're here to, get some of those federal grants happening. And, my advice is, start a music career and then go out and buy yourself a $5.5 million mansion and let the government chip in.
Yeah, I always knew I was doing something terribly wrong. Clearly, I haven't been playing the guitar well enough. That's my problem.
Well, like I said, I started in the 90s, Martin. Haven't picked it up since then. I think I only learnt two notes. But, hey, I was inspired by that. I was inspired by that story in Domain.
I know. It's pretty amazing, wasn't it? Well, I don't know where we start our conversation because there are so many things flying around at the minute. But maybe let's just start with property transactions, right? Because, I noticed that there's a lot of noise out there saying, look, we mayn't be doing any auctions, but we're still doing a lot of private sales and private transactions. Frankly, I'm not seeing it. Are you?
No, not at all. And I think what we are seeing is the fact that there was one of the most outstanding things that happened on the weekend was the actual one property got sold in Victoria under an auction campaign. A couple of my followers on Twitter actually sent me some links to Padstow, to the area of Padstow. There was about 12 auctions that occurred in Padstow, Sydney, that is, Sydney Padstow, and only two of the 12 had actually sold under that. And it's an interesting platform that you're able to see live what's happening. So it was rather good because you actually see what's actually happening as opposed to then everything being covered up and jumbled up in the way the hedonic and the auction clearance rates are worked out over the weekend. So two out of 12, and we're still waiting for the results. I checked 5 minutes ago and they were still missing. So that's why I came up with that title. I miss you, auction results or somewhere along those lines.
Well, I noticed that Domain is still showing the results from the 4th of April. So they haven't actually updated them for last week, which tells you something.
Yeah, well, it tells you that the least amount of numbers, the least chance you've got of fudging the figures, I guess.
Yeah.
That's my take out of it anyway.
And I've also seen quite a few people have been in touch with me and saying that off the plans and newly constructed units, they're discounting up 20% to try and get anybody to buy them at the moment as well. So prices
25%. That's right.
Yeah.
25%. 3 years rental guarantee. Strata levies paid up to in one case five years. But in all reality, Martin, who's really going to dip their toes in the water right now? That's got half a brain cell. other than the ones that the Spruikers are leading by the nose and into the in you know, over the cliff.
Well, as Tony Lecantro says, people selling now are looking for the greater fool who's going to buy. Frankly, I think anybody who was be going into the market at the moment actually need their heads examined, because there are so many uncertainties, and you know, prices probably will be lower later. So therefore, sit on your hands and wait for prices to fall.
Yeah, and looking at breaking the transaction down, there are a couple of other actors that are also involved in the transaction, and one of the main actors is going to be the valuer. My question is, and I've been saying over and over again, what instructions have the banks given to the valuers? And I mean, a lot of people say, oh, you know, the valuers are independent. Yeah, BS, they're independent. Yeah, the poor bastards get paid $260 for a valuation, and they're going to put the I don't think they're going to put the professional indemnity insurance on the line by valuing high, or even a contract price for that matter. That's the first actor that are going to have to come the other part of the equation, a major actor in this transaction. The next one, of course, is going to be the bank. So the bank's going to require a 20% loan. Are they going to require now a 30% loan? You know, what is the strength of the purchaser? With unemployment numbers now tracking, you know, close to I believe, you know, 16% or 18%, or we've overshot that figure, and lo and behold, even the doc said that unemployment figures are going to go are going to trend even higher. Where he called you specifically, Martin, a pinhead doomsayer. I'm sure it was you.
Well, I was going to say, if the cap fits, I'll wear it. But the point there was, that was really quite a funny little video, right? Because effectively you have one of the biggest perma bulls in the place looking for some further support and not getting it.
No, that's right. But he actually said it himself. Unemployment figures are going to rise. And in the first video that I posted up there on Twitter, he actually, in the first section of the video, because he can only upload 2 minutes and 20 seconds, so I had to chop that up. But in the first section, he actually talks about interest rates going, expect interest rates to go up. So that's contrary to what he'd been saying for the previous 6 months.
Yeah, I know. So look, there are lots of uncertainties. And I guess that comes to then, there's very little price discovery going on at the moment. So trying to get a read of where prices actually are moving is a little bit more difficult than it used to be. And yet, of course, CoreLogic is still saying prices are looking positive. So
of course they are, Martin. Come on, that's a hedonic. The creators of the hedonic daily index. You know who they are. It's an interesting scenario. But let's keep in mind, and let's bring it all back into perspective. Which I've challenged CoreLogic. I've challenged a few of their people on Twitter. I've known them for many years. From being in the industry, and I know for a fact that the best case scenario is between 60 and 72 days lag in the data that they get. I don't care whether they tell you and they tell the rest of the media that they gather information from real estate agents. 70% of the information that it's gathered is from real estate agents. But again, I come forth with a premise. So therefore, you're saying that 100% of real estate agents are honest and trustworthy? I'm in the industry, people. I've broken this out before. Hello. But even so, one of the senior executives of CoreLogic said that the data lags by 72 days. Now he says that's the worst case scenario. I kind of think that it's along the ways of the best case scenario. So we're going to get all these lags from transactions that were still happening in January up to mid February. What they do, it's yours and everybody's guess as to how they put it all together and to produce that narrative that the property's still going up. But let's wait and see.
Well, sometimes you don't want to know how the sausage is made. The trouble is that when you have something at the end that looks like a sausage, you don't know what's inside it. So that's the problem.
That's right. And especially when you try those sausages from South America.
Now, one of the other things that's going on, of course, is this tussle between landlords, those renting, and the agents. And I've noticed some significant stuff going backwards and forwards, where effectively agents working on behalf of the landlord is putting quite a lot of pressure on those renting to keep paying. It occurs to me, of course, that agents get paid when the rent gets paid, doesn't it?
That's exactly right, and that's a problem that they've got to deal with. But let's take a step back and let's look at the whole transaction here as to what's going to happen. The state government just put out a report that the tenants are going to get a relief of moratorium of 6 months. Then in terms of arrears, and we've got a 60-day stay on any notices given or eviction notices given to tenants, which is also going to be questioned, which is also going to be challenged under NCAT and VCAT under their legislation in Victoria. But as I keep on saying, if you can pay some rent, pay some rent. Don't not pay any rent. Don't try to hoodwink the agent. Don't try to hoodwink the landlord, and vice versa. Look, you've got the good, the bad, and the ugly in all these transactions. Unfortunately, you've got the industry that whatever percentages you say are good, whatever percentages you say are bad, and whatever percentages you say are ugly, the ones that speak out the most and try to put pressure on tenants are usually the ugly. And to those agents, I say to you, pull your head in and act accordingly. Everybody. Every industry out there, stakeholder that has a business, is suffering. Don't try to be overzealous and start issuing notices left, right, and centre. You will get caught out anyway. The whole tenants, don't get fooled into believing that just because you receive a letter from the agency, it's law. It's not. There are a number of problems that the industry has, and I hope that these things get resolved. But unfortunately, the state government has muddled everything up and incorporating the residential tenancies and the commercial tenancies under the one umbrella. And guess what? The poles apart. There are a lot of differences, contrasting things that are happening all the time. But yes, the agent does work for the landlord, but at the end of the day, the agent, not in all cases, but in a lot of cases, seem to be working for themselves right now and try to feather their own nest by keeping that commission, as we say, and not acting accordingly. And hence the confusion, Martin. Mm. And look, I put it out there. DM me through my Twitter account if you have some issues. I'm more than happy to answer your questions, and I have been doing with a number of followers that follow us on the DFA channel and also follow us on Twitter, Martin, and I have been answering and helping them along to put things into perspective. So when you've got that commission involved, unfortunately, it just derails the whole thing. But that's not the only problem that landlords have is also that the fact that the properties have been badly managed. COVID-19 or coronavirus is not the only problem that they have. It's been an underlying problem that's been embedded in this whole residential industry in terms of tenancies with regards to the maintenance and the upkeep of the properties. Now, under the new regulations that have been issued in March 23rd, there's a lot of disclosure and there are a lot of things that agents have to do. Agents have to disclose, and there's a lot of upkeep that landlords have to now implement in order to maintain the property on the rental market. Otherwise, guess what? If they don't meet that criteria, they will be fined and insurances will not cover them. So it's a huge problem that's before us. And look, again, not all agents are bad folks, but if you're a bit confused, reach out and I'm happy to give some friendly assistance along the way.
Well, I think it's very timely, Edwin, because, of course, there are tenants who are trying to figure out what to do. There are landlords who owe mortgages and suddenly they're not getting the income that they were expecting to be able to pay the mortgage. So they've got to go and talk to the bank. You've got the the agents in the middle of it, and then you've got the insurers who are basically saying, well, in certain circumstances, we will or won't cover. So it's a massively complicated thing, but I think you hit the nail on the head. Trying to put the commercial rentals and the residential rentals in the same bucket is a major mistake, because effectively the dynamics are completely different. And, whilst land tax may be quite beneficial on the commercial side, I don't really think it's going to be a significant issue on the residential side. And what we do know is that in both cases, people can't be forced out simply because they don't pay. And that's basically set a whole tone to the way the conversation's going.
That's correct. And look, the government have absolutely botched this up. And unfortunately, the industry bodies that should have been there to assist haven't been there. They're being MIA. And it's up to people like yourself, myself, and a few others on different platforms that can get a voice out to help both sides of all three sides of the equation: the landlord, the agents, and the tenants, and particularly the tenants, because I manage properties close to, on to 22 years and being involved in that. And I've been very vocal with regards to the way that tenants should be treated, have been treated, and are not being treated. And, in many other publications, lo and behold, also on Domain, where I've spoken on behalf of tenants and the like. So it's close to my heart. I do feel for this whole thing, but I think the government has just dropped the ball well and truly with all this, and the industry bodies are nowhere to be seen. They are MIA.
Yeah, correct. And they're tending to be looking after their own interests rather than the interests of the broader community. But my message to tenants is don't panic. There are some support mechanisms in place, and don't take any stuff that comes through the mail to say you must do X, because effectively they probably are out of order anyway.
Yeah, look, and now you do have the tenants' union as well. You've got a lot of other advocates, tenancy advocates there. But look, at the end of the day, mate, let's also. I think this whole thing with the government just have they dropped the ball, or are they also complicit in this whole thing? Not too long ago, there was a big push. Go out and get a property, go out and buy, go and everything's great. It hasn't been this easy, as easy as it's been lately to go out and, mortgage yourself to hilt. So people went out and bought 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 investment properties, and then you got the spruikers left, right and centre pushing to buy. Well, it's all come unstuck. And now the government's saying, hey, that was your choice, not us. That was you. You did all that. So I think there's going to be a lifeline given to in the future would be given to people that are with regards to the principal place of residence, but there's going to be a lot of gaping holes with regards to investment properties, and interestingly enough, with regard to the relief that the government's supposed to be giving the residential landlords, by way of not paying as much in land tax and the like. Hey, there's only 16% of landlords would probably come under that category, and most of them are probably in regional outside of Sydney anyway. And the whole land tax is the unimproved value of the land. So even that whole thing there is also convoluted. So it's really given no hope. So it is going to be a watch this space moment. And that's a title for one of my other songs as well, on the LP.
Yeah, very good. Well, that's obviously going to be in high demand, Edwin. You should get it out there soon. Okay, so then the last question for today is, look, we're going to go through a significant down cycle around home prices. And of course, it depends a little bit on how long the health crisis runs on for. But my suspicion is that this is not going to be one of those V-shaped things and suddenly everything's going to snap back, right? Because the fundamental questions about what is property worth, how are mortgages effectively being offered, what property investors are going to do, all of those things are going to be up in the air. And so my own sense is that after the crisis, we're going to see some significant grind along and probably very little recovery for quite some time. So, you know, I think my own perspective, interested in your view, is people should be quite cautious. Don't expect a V-shaped recovery. It's probably not going to happen.
No, and I've been posting up the, albeit I've used the domain platform as the as my benchmark for a couple of years, because it gives you what the main reason why I've used domain for a number of years in terms of benchmarking what's happening with poor sale figures and poor lease figures and things along those lines, is because they have a better defined geography of what the Sydney region is, as opposed to REA, which they extend all the way to Gosford and even down your way has been part of Sydney. It's like saying that Tasmania is part of Australia. I don't know. Yeah, it's just one of those things. Or New Zealand. So did I say Tasmania? I mean New Zealand, folks. I mean New Zealand. Not really. So that's why I use it. And the consistency through that gives us an understanding. So in the last 3 weeks, Martin, we've had something like 3,500 new dwellings come on the rental market, which has been. And a lot of them have been put up over the weekends and so forth, which is alarming. Some of the commentary along those lines have been, but you know, it's only 100. You're being paranoid, or you're being too much of a doomsayer, blah blah blah, and this that, and the other. And so yeah, in any other given market where the vacancy rate is around the 3.2, to have 200 new listings from one day to the next may be considered as, you can downplay, it can be absorbed, but that would have been around 19,000 properties on the market. But now we've got something like 26,500 rental properties on the market, and more are coming on. And under these circumstances, any one property is like adding another, you know, putting 10 on under normal circumstances. So the vacancy rates increase. So your appetite for investment properties are going to decrease. The rental markets are dropping. I've been able to secure rental properties for some of my clients with a reduction of up to 33-35% from 900 and, you know, asking price 950 to 550 per week on long-term leases, you know, for, you know, 6 months, 12 months, even 18 months. So again, it's going to be a renter's market, and it's going to be a buyer's market. So yeah, I'd say just wait. It's not going to be a big V-shaped recovery, as you say. I think there's still a long way to go, to hit the floor. And where is the floor? Interestingly enough, I also keep an eye on what's happening over in China, because that has a big influence on what's going to happen here. Is the Chinese student going to have an appetite to come back to the Australian universities? Is there going to be a further appetite for that? And there's a lot of construction that was built around that. It is a mindful. And let's not forget the fact that for many years you and I have said, and many in the industry have said, there's close to 1.2 million vacant properties before all this, whilst we were in boom time. There was, you know, 1.2 million. We only need to have a portion of those properties come on the rental market as well as on the sales market, and we go downhill even further.
Mm. Well, one of the other points to make, I think, Edwin, is that firstly, Airbnb short-term lets are now trying to be let long-term. So it's amazing how many of the stuff that's coming on are fully furnished, et cetera, et cetera. I'm seeing that in my surveys too. So people are desperate to get anything, to get any rental in.
Yeah.
And so we're seeing rents dropping. The other point, though, of course, even if we stamp out the virus in Australia, and, you know, there's a small chance we can do that, the international transiting between countries is not going to come back anytime soon. So all of the migration is going to be pretty much stopped for quite a long time, which means that external driver of people wanting to buy from overseas or migrants coming into Australia is pretty much just gone to zero. So as well as property investors being off the stage at the moment, migrants are off the stage at the moment. First-time buyers will obviously find it very difficult with the income issues that they've got at the moment. So, you know, who's going to buy? And the answer is not many people. On the other hand, there are people who are going to be forced to sell. We're already seeing that in some of our data, that people are being forced to sell because they want to try and get out and get some value from that paper profit that they've got before prices drop further.
Yeah, and you've got the retirees as well, Martin. You've got the retirees that have to sell.
Yep.
They have to sell because the superannuation's just gone to the proverbial caca. it's more than halved in value. So the only other thing of value that they've got is the principal place of residence, which they have to sell in order to go into a retirement home and so forth.
Yeah, no, you're spot on there. And so, you know, if you put all that together and remember that we've still got this massively high debt pile, so many people are very heavily leveraged into property. Many people can't pay those mortgages, and there's some holiday repayments, but those repayments are just put out. They're not actually gone away. So all you're doing is just deferring the inevitable. So effectively, the question now is, do you try and sell, you know, if you can sell now and take a hit, or do you just sit there, ride it down, recognizing that if the UK or the US is any analogue of what was going to happen, this could be a 3 to 5 year dip before we start seeing anything come back. I mean, this is what we feared. I'm afraid that you and I have been saying this for some time. And I know people have been accusing us of, you know, using the virus as an excuse to make our view come true. The fact is, this was always going to happen. The virus is a catalyst, but this was always going to happen at some point, wasn't it?
That's great. Look, and this is what I've been saying to a lot of people in private and you know on the different platforms that I you know on the different groups that I have. There are a number of observations which I've shared on Twitter. One of which is the conversations on WeChat where the local Chinese agents are absolutely having a feud with the property spruikers in mainland China, because in mainland China they're still trying to promote Australia as the place to be and the place to buy, and the local Chinese spruikers or real estate agents are absolutely at war with them, telling them to basically pull their head in and shut up and keep quiet. So that, and I've shared that publicly to inform the general public what's going to happen. You've got how long are airlines going to be going to the airlines going to be out of business? They're not going to be bringing any people in anytime soon, not for another 12, 18 months or however long it takes. I mean, that's just the way it is. You've got this whole Airbnb, quite a number of associates that associates or people that I've dealt with and deal with and friends in the industry that have had two, three, four investment properties which have turned into Airbnb. Now they are absolutely struggling. Now they've in some cases they've taken up to a 50% hit in order to get these things rented. I'm not talking about properties out in the middle of Blacktown or Mount Druitt or Campbelltown or the like. I'm talking about city-based two-bedroom, three-bedroom apartments that have got converted into Airbnb. So they've taken an absolute hit, major hit. Now, the question also is, Martin, yes, you can say, well, I'll ride this out, but is it going to take 2, 3, 4, 5 years? Is it going to take longer to ride this out? And can you pay the difference between what you're actually getting in rent and what you actually owe the bank? Can you pay that difference interest? The banks are only given I think up to 3 months or 6 months leave, and that interest is going to be tacked on at the end as well. So it's this whole thing of affordability. The people that have got multiple investment properties are the ones that are going to suffer the most. Obviously, the more you have, the more you suffer, because quite frankly, you're just not going to make ends meet, and they're going to be forced sales. There's no two ways about it. The banks aren't going to want to hold them. They're going to sell. They're going to try and recover what they can, because they're going to get bailed out by the government anyway. So, so there's going to be a lot of pain. So the question is how long can you hold your breath? And many people can't hold their breath for more than 30 seconds, let alone for 3 years, 5 years, or 7 or 10 years.
Yeah.
So, there you go. I mean, how long can you put up with me playing the one chord that I remember playing, or I don't know, about five chords in the 20s, but how long can you sit there, Martin, listening to me play the one chord and come up with 18 songs with one chord? I mean, that'll be ingenious. And I'm sure then after I sell all the LPs, I'll be able to buy a $5 million property on the waterfront as well. I don't know. But there's too many, it's too uncertain. It's too many unknowns. Other than the fact that this Zeppelin is coming down, and it's coming down hard.
Yeah, well, I think that should be the final song, which is down, down, prices are down, and they're going to keep going for quite some time. And just another little angle. Students, of course, no longer here. So, how many of those apartments in and around Sydney, Melbourne, and other major centres were actually let out students, right? And that sector is completely gone. So again, another reason why there's more supply coming on. The supply-demand disequilibrium that we've got is probably what we've never seen before. And so if you think about the way that price mechanisms work, you know, there is lots of reasons why we're going to see more supply, no reasons why people would buy, and that takes you in any one direction, doesn't it?
Well, it does. And we could keep on talking, Martin, but there's a number of different scenarios that have been going through my head, and you can imagine. I get very, very little sleep compiling this album of mine. But, you know, one of the thoughts that have come to my head is the fact that you've got all these people now staying at home. You've got all these people eating so much food, drinking so much, you know, vino and everything else. I myself have becoming a culinary expert, and I think I might be a 3 or 4 star Michelin chef by the time I finish with this lockdown. You know, I put some stuff up on my Facebook page. I mean, it's absolutely, you know, delicious. But with all this that's been happening, one thing I've also noticed that I'm visiting the toilet a lot. And I can't but stop thinking, what the hell's going on with these high-rise apartments and with so many people, you know, actually in the apartments, let alone individual houses, and the properties that are 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 100 years old. I mean, the dunnies are really getting a real caning, and that's going to bring a lot more issues into this whole equation, Martin. You know, hang on to the rest of your hair, Martin, because it is going to be absolutely mind-boggling what happens over the next 6 to 12 months in itself.
Well, Edwin, you've left me with an amazing image, which I don't think I want to go there. But what I will come back to is the thought of Edwin, the singing chef.
Right. I think you better patent that, Martin. Put some sort of label on that, and you know, make it belong to DFA, and anybody that wants to contribute by Patreon, you know, to Edwin the Singing Chef to get his musical career going, and I can teach and share all my culinary experiences. I mean, I've even started to a fusion between Asian cuisine and Italian cuisine, Martin. I mean, I'm really having a ball out of it.
Edwin, look, it's always a great pleasure to share some time with you and to get your perspectives, because of course you really are amongst all of the humour, highlighting the critical issues. But I think it's also important that we do have a little bit of a joke and a laugh, because you know, things can getting serious at the moment, but actually we can find a little bit of humour in this. I think that's good as well, good for the soul.
Yeah, it is, Martin. And product placement over there is CNO Coffee. You know, my sister imports coffee beans from South America. Well, she was importing from Brazil and Colombia. Yeah. But she does have a stockpile of coffee beans ready to be roasted and shipped to your place. You know, CNO Coffee. Don't worry, Martin. I'll get her to sponsor your show.
Edwin, thanks for your time today. Keep safe, and we'll catch up again quite soon.
Likewise, Martin, and all the best to you and your family.
Take care.
Cheers.